Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much to all those people who took the time. Caroline organised all that stuff, really. And of course, we're in it together. And so I do take the call of God really seriously, despite the fact that I kind of have a lot of fun in life. And I want to share only briefly this morning. We actually contacted a number of guys that we've known over the years, and some for very long time, some for less time. Dean and I and Chris and I go back to our kind of 20s. Chris and I are teenage best friends. And Johnny Walker, he was just a great part of, gave his life with Susie, just got married, and pretty much as soon as he got married, left Australia to come here to help us plant what we were doing. Then was a fantastic servant to Peter Prothero and the Equippers Church guys and a pastor there, and now back in Sydney, right about where we all grew up. So anyway, I'm really thankful to people. We got, to be honest, more responses than we thought maybe we would, so it ended up being fairly fair bit of information, but I hope and I'm sure it's been an encouragement to people. It's about serving God, and I hope that those insights from men and women that are serving God effectively today have been a help to you. As a result, I'm going to speak only just a little bit. I've got kind of 15 minutes, I would think, at the most, but I do want to impart something to you in this area. I did promise last week I'd speak about the call of God. And because the call of God is something of an unusual thing. Dean alluded to it. People who don't have that particular call to the ministry in that way, it seems strange. I think most of the people I know that God has apprehended are a little unusual. And they tend to do unusual things, and they're probably generally not the easiest to live with, because they are hearing something from heaven that not everybody hears. And that's not to say, and it's very important that we understand this well, it's not to say that they are in any way more important to God, but it's just that he chooses certain people for certain purposes. And you can't make yourself chosen. And I remember many years ago realizing that, and realizing that this is not my idea, you know. I was set on being a musician, to be honest with you. And I think to mention that everybody is called of God. You all have a calling, and you have a purpose to fulfill. But you have to be able to recognize whom God has set in certain positions or placed certain anointings or graces upon. If you don't recognize that, it becomes almost like a very socialistic perspective of the kingdom of God. And it just isn't like that. You know, there were 12 apostles Jesus chose. And interestingly enough, one of them was Judas. There were plenty of other guys, I'm sure, that may have had better character and might have really felt like, boy, I wish I was one of those 12. But God will do what God wants to do. And we have to rid ourselves or grow into a place where us being threatened by the success of others or the apparent favor of others is something that we leave behind, because when this isn't a competition. This is championing others and recognizing what God has put on their lives, and doing everything we can to help them flourish, whether that makes us look good or not. And that's the important thing. The kingdom of God is about agape love, which is lifting others, and it doesn't matter whether you're seen or not. And whereas the political spirit that is dominant in our world will always be driven by what's in it for me, what's the advantage in it for me. And it's been a wonderful process over 30 years. And I've been saved, I suppose, is it 40, more than 40 years? So I felt called by God earlier on. In fact, when I was first saved, as a 16-year-old, and Chris Brown and I were kind of young believers together, passionate about God. I was setting up little Bible studies for my late teenage Australian friends, and I remember all that, and some of those guys are we're still in touch with. And so I was hungry for God, you know, praying, going down the bush to pray as we do in Australia, taking a weekend out to drive down to some remote place, put a tent up just so I could be with God, all those kinds of things. You know, very devoted to the purposes of God. But the thing that really changed me, and this will help, I think, is what released the call of God to ministry in my life was receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in May of 1985. So I was then kind of early 20s, and I had been saved for 6 years, and I was hungry for God, and I wanted to serve God, and I loved the Bible, and I was devoted to doing whatever I felt like I could for the kingdom of God. God had apprehended my heart. But I was a musician. Becoming a musician, I was very focused. I used to practice up to 3 hours a day. And so the other things in my life were in terms of work and things, were secondary to that. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was under the ministry of Phil Pringle and Christian City Church, or now C3 Church in Sydney, who had an enormous impact on my life and who I served for 20 years. But that baptism of the Holy Spirit, which comes with the gift of praying in other languages, absolutely changed my life. Within 3 months of that moment, 29th of May 1983, straight away, and then over those next few months, I had this sense of being called by God to be a preacher above everything else, a minister, but a preacher. Not a pastor particularly, but a preacher. I just knew, and God was speaking to me, and you just know on the inside of you that this is what God's got. And I would pursue God, and then in my prayer times where I'd be praying in the Spirit, which I did effusively and regularly, and it transformed my life. I loved the Word of God. I've still got one of the Bibles I had from those days with all my notes in it. And I would find when I'm praying that I would start to preach in my prayer time. I'm kind of 20 minutes in praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I kind of preach, and it still happens to me. I remember in the bush in Australia, I've preached maybe some of my best messages out there with nobody listening, but probably a couple of goannas and a couple of cockatoos and some gum trees. And I was so on fire that I'd have altar calls with nobody there. What we called an altar call in those days, an opportunity for people to respond. And so God had put this fire in me. One of the biggest things that happened to me in that first year was a consecration to God in terms of the music career of my life. That's what I'd been pursuing, dedicated. I'd recently bought, with all the money in the world that I had as a young student, and a poor relatively, you know, not much. I'd put all my money into a Yamaha electronic piano, which at the time was about the best ones you could get. And Keith Emerson from Emerson, Lake and Palmer back in the day played one of those. And so I was dedicated. I was practicing hours. I was in my bedroom. I was recording stuff. But as this call of God came, I knew that I couldn't do both. And so for me, and a lot of my heroes were musicians. And a lot of the way for the previous 6 years, I'd felt like I want to change the world, was, which had been kind of in me was through music. But this call of God was different, and I knew I couldn't do both. And so there was a time in the first year, sometime in late 1983, when I was part of this very exciting church, filled with the Holy Spirit, being used prophetically in that situation, starting to rise up as a young leader, influencing a lot of my friends, all that stuff. But what probably a lot of people don't know is that I got that keyboard in its big case, and I drove it down to the church where I was, which was Christian City Church at that time, meeting in DY, in this building they had there. And I think I probably put it in that old car that you saw earlier on the photo that Chris had, and I carried it in, weighed a ton, carried it into the altar to the front of the church, and I had written a note on it that said something like this: an offering and a sacrifice to God, something like that. And it was the daytime. I don't know if anybody saw me. I didn't talk to anybody. I just brought the keyboard there and I left it there, and that was it. I don't know what they did with it. I don't know if they ever used it. I don't know if they gave it away, sold it, whatever. But that wasn't the thing. The thing was, at an altar where I'd met God in this church in a whole new way, I had handed over my desire to do what I wanted with my life, and said, I'm going to yield fully to the call of God. And that's really where things begin to change. I remember one man of God that influenced me greatly over the last 30 years, whose name's Kenneth Hagin. You might remember him. And I remember a very unusual thing he said when he was a prophet himself, and used to had a season of life where Jesus visited him a number of times. And one of the things Jesus said to him one time was, you know, that most of the people that I have called never even enter into the first phase of the ministry that I've called them to. And that really stunned me. It's like anything, it's a person's experience, so you take it with a grain of salt. But as I've walked with God, grown in the knowledge of the scriptures, I can see that most people don't even, because there's a yieldedness, and there is such a wonderful glory on the other side of yieldedness. But many people don't want to give up. Jesus said words like this: if you don't lose your life, you'll never find it. And many Christians are going to get to heaven and find that they're in heaven and God loves them and his arms are around them and the people that walked with him are there and so forth. But they'll also realize, and I don't know quite how it works emotionally, but they'll also realize that the reward they get for their life was not anything like what it could have been, because everything that God had planned for them, they hadn't fully yielded to, and in many cases didn't even get to phase one. There are phases in ministry. I'm going to close off today just by sharing one passage from the scripture, which has been one of my favorites over many years, and there's a couple of clues in here about the call of God that I think will really help you. It's Acts 13, verses 1 to 2, and then just into the beginning of chapter 3, and it's this early church at Antioch. Antioch was a place where the kind of mother church, if you like, had been in Jerusalem. That's where all the heavyweight apostles were. And a revival, if you will, had broken out in this place called Antioch. And so they had sent Barnabas there, and he, it would appear, was overseeing that. And Barnabas then went and got Paul, because he knew Paul. Paul had been preaching for some number of years, maybe up to 15 years, in different cities and towns. That most people think he was out in the desert, you know, seeking God for 15 years, which is just rubbish. He wasn't. He was preaching straight away. He was leading people to Christ. He was influencing, but he was doing it unseen. And God was looking at his faithfulness. But anyway, this church in Antioch takes off. Barnabas goes to get Paul because he thinks Paul is gifted and he will work really well in this situation. And so they end up influencing together and leading, and Barnabas was certainly the leader, this church. And there were other ministers in this, what you would call a senior ministry team. So let me read that for you now. So now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And so they did so. They fasted and prayed. They placed their hands on them and they sent them off. And verse 3 then says, "And the two of them, sent on their way, went down to Seleucia, sailed to Cyprus," and so starts this first missionary journey, which is really an apostolic journey. And there's a couple of things in there that I think will really help you in interpreting the call of God for yourself. Number one, the first thing that you notice is that there is a difference between being called and being set apart and separated and released. Separate, now the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, or Barnabas and Paul, for the work to which I have called them. They already knew they were called to this, what is apostolic ministry. Neither of them were apostles at that time. None of those five senior leaders, or the senior ministry team, we would assume, were pastors or evangelists. They were all prophets or teachers, or they were both a prophet and a teacher. And you can function in either. So some people are just prophets. That's their wiring. That's their divine anointing. That's what God sent from heaven upon their life. And when that anointing flows on them, that's what they do. And they may be hopeless teachers or not particularly good teachers. Then there are others that are teachers, and that's what they do, and they do it extremely well. But they don't particularly have a prophetic gift. They may be able to prophesy a little bit, because everyone can prophesy a little bit, but the spiritual equipment, the anointing that God has created for them and placed upon them, when it flows, they just teach. And then you have people that flow in both of those things. They have a measure of both gifts. And then, of course, you have a different level or weight of anointing on different people. And that's all how God chooses to do it. So none of those guys were pastors. In fact, the word pastor, we use it so often. And one of my passions and one of my mandates, really, is to help the body of Christ, the church, to get sorted with that, because we call everybody pastor. And in the New Testament, there were way more apostles than pastors. And we're afraid to use the term apostle because we think it means that you think you're a big shot, which it doesn't mean at all. And we end up hindering the body of Christ by misnaming things and not understanding the callings of God. So anyway, there is this time where they called. So Paul and Barnabas both knew beforehand, probably years beforehand, that they're called to travel in an apostolic way, an apostolic mantle. They'd had examples of other apostles. And then here it says, now it's the time to separate me. There's always a season between when you're called and when you're separated. And one of the things that younger ministers stumble up against, and I did too, was that you know you've got a call and you think because the call's on you that you're there, but actually you're not there. You need other people to recognize what God has put upon you and to endorse it or release it. And that's something that spiritual people sometimes struggle with. And I certainly did when I was a younger person. The relationship between those five people is very significant. We'll call them the senior ministry team. It's certainly Barnabas. Barnabas was the leader on that first apostolic journey. Barnabas was sent from Jerusalem, so it's highly likely that Barnabas was the single senior leader or senior pastor. We use the word senior pastor. It's not a good word. Senior leader, senior minister. And so he was there. But these five, notice what they did. They prayed together. They sought God together. And in the Greek, and some versions write it this way and some don't, they ministered to the Lord. So the word minister is serve, to serve in the way that you would serve. If I was in a restaurant, I used to work in a restaurant, some of the many things I've done. And if you serve, for instance, a bowl of risotto, and they order it and you bring it to them, then you are ministering risotto, you are serving risotto, you are bringing something of substance to them to nourish them. And a minister spiritually is someone that brings something of spiritual substance. The title isn't the issue. If you're bringing a bowl, they ordered risotto, and you bring a bowl of nothing, then you're not going to last. You may be wearing the right waiter's clothes. You might be paid. You might walk around and take orders. But the proof is in the pudding. If you're a minister, really, in that restaurant, the substance and the stuff they want to eat. And it blesses and nourishes them. A spiritual minister is exactly the same thing. You bring something that ministers to or nourishes the people who receive it from you. So these people then were ministering to the Lord. Now then, they are not just praying for things and receiving things, but they are serving, they are bringing nourishment, they are bringing something from their spirit, from their heart of gratitude, from their heart of thanksgiving, from their heart of awareness of the goodness of God, and they're ministering to Him. They're saying, God, You are awesome, You are wonderful. They are bringing of their spirit nourishment, if you will, to God, to bless God. And like the prayers of the saints that go up as incense in His nostrils. So that's what they're doing. And in that time, the Holy Spirit spoke. It doesn't say how the Holy Spirit spoke, but they all agreed that the Holy Spirit spoke. So it's got to be verbal, and it's likely, given that they were all either prophets and teachers or prophets or teachers, it's highly likely that one of them had a prophetic word. But it was agreed upon by all of them. And so you have this important combination of the gifts and moving of the Spirit and people working together to establish the purpose of God. The idea that sometimes we have, and certainly I had that too when I was younger, was that you know, God spoke to me, God called me, God will do what God says He's going to do. It doesn't matter what people think. And in one sense, that's true, because you have to be. When I did that giving away of that piano, I didn't ask anybody, nobody advised me. It was a deep thing between God and I. But if I'm going to go on and minister to people now, then I have to have the affirmation, the recognition of others that are likewise called, proven, tested, and have ministries that are important. And that is seen all through the New Testament, but you can see it here. These five agreed. This is God speaking. It wasn't just Barnabas and Saul that said, no, you guys are all missing God, we're going anyway. It just wasn't like that. They were sent by people who were called and anointed, but they were human people who made mistakes like anyone, but they knew God had sent them. And then it says, and then they were sent by the Holy Spirit. Did you see that in verse 3? They were sent by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit spoke. Men, ministers, and can be women too, ministers appointed by God, agreed together, laid their hands on people, released them, but then the Bible says the Holy Spirit sent them. So that's how the call of God works. It's God's Holy Spirit working with people that are called, positioned, appointed, recognized by Him. And then they entered into this season, this new season. They became apostles. Before then, Paul, who we call Paul the Apostle, was not an apostle. he was a prophet or a teacher. And if you look at the way he writes, it would appear that he was both a prophet and a teacher. Those streaks are strong in him. But when he describes his own ministry in his last letter to Timothy, he says, God has set me apart and appointed me, first of all, as a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So in the early phase, he's a prophet and a teacher. And for the very early phase, he's out there preaching to places like Tarsus, where he grew up, establishing churches, it would appear. I can talk about that another day. And does that for something up to 15 years, certainly a number of years, because the 15-year thing he refers to in Galatians 1, it's hard to pin exactly where that is in the book of Acts. There's a couple of places it could be. But certainly for 5 or 10 years, he's out there preaching. He's leading people to Christ. He's establishing congregations in some form. First phase. Then Barnabas calls him and says, join us. Now, then he's got to let go of being the boss, which he was, because he's doing his own thing, as far as we can tell. And now Barnabas is the leader. And Barnabas was the leader on the first journey. So that's a whole different phase where you now have to be yielded to somebody else's leadership when you weren't before. Often, as a young minister, when you're called by God, that's a difficult thing to do. But it's important, and God will lead you through that, because until you can be faithful to somebody else in ministry, you're not really being faithful to God in ministry. You're just being faithful to yourself. And I see the balance of both those things. And I can tell you from personal experience, that was a big part of growth for me. And so then they get released into what is an apostle calling. So they're traveling. And the word apostle means sent one. Some apostles travel more than others. Some will maintain a strong local connection with a church or churches. Others will be on the road a lot. But the distinctive, there's a number of distinctives. One of them is spiritual weight. One of them is the accompaniment of the supernatural. And one of them is generally that people will go through other phases of ministry before they become apostles. Mostly, that's not the first ministry people enter into. And Paul's a good example of this, and Barnabas. And then the other thing is that they are sent. There is this sense that God has sent these people, and it's part of their spiritual equipment, and they walk like that, and they think like that. So as much as I deeply love people and God's people, I also know that God has called me and sent me to the earth. And that's one of the things we as a church right now are traveling through. So the call of God to me is the most precious thing in the world. And it'll get tested. And I've been through, as some people have alluded, just some terrible, terrible difficulties. I'm not sure they're as bad as Paul the Apostle's when he writes about it in 2 Corinthians and also I think in Romans. But some you could say you made yourself, Paul, and probably that's true. But you're going to find that God will find a way of testing the metal in your life, and all that'll have to do with is building you into a person who relies more and more on God and less on yourself. And it takes time, it takes years to get there. And that's why I so appreciate, deeply appreciate, the kind and encouraging and spiritual words of a number of people who have shared with me today. Most, if not all of them, I'm just trying to think, most of them are really have been in ministry for years, and so their opinions, they have traveled through some stuff. And I want to say thank you to them. I want to say thank you to Carrie, who has stuck with me when it hasn't always been easy. And I wish I could say it was going to be easy from now on, Caroline, but it ain't. But I'm going to be true to Jesus and true to you, and that's a good place to start. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I trust that this has helped you. Let me pray as we come to a close. Father God, the call of God, when you've called everyone that's listening today or listening in the future, there are different calls on every person. And when we discover what we were made for, in that is great liberty, and that's what the anointing of your presence falls on. I pray that you help every person who hear these words today to hear your voice and your call, and to yield themselves fully to all that you want for them. If I can have that influence, Papa God, on people's lives, then my life will be one well spent. I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you for the people that you have sent to strengthen, encourage, bless, help, train, mentor, lead, influence me. And those that are alongside me and those that follow me, I want to thank you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And I pray a release of your spirit and the call of God upon every person that's hearing today. In Jesus' name. Amen.